Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Red tape like you wouldn't believe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Live from Cairo, Egypt, I'm Scott Jagow. I'm standing in front of the mother of all government buildings, the Mugama, on Cairo's Tahrir Square. For decades, this is where Egyptians have come to do just about everything. They'll stand for hours in hot, cramped hallways to get a passport or a marriage license. The government is trying to decentralize this symbol of bureaucracy, but it's still kind of a nightmare to get certain things done, like start a business. Here's Amy Scott.
The Cairo headquarters of SpeedSend feel like any startup in San Francisco or London. Techno music thumps as young men and women sit at computer terminals processing customer orders. A spiral staircase connects one floor to the next. And for this business, it's been an uphill climb. 33-year-old Ahmed El Sharif co-founded SpeedSend 6 years ago. The company sells office supplies to businesses online. When it came time to draw up a business plan, El Sharif couldn't even estimate his potential customer base.
The number one thing that's not available in this market is data on anything. You don't even know what the illiteracy rate is, for God's sake. So you can't really do research.
Finding money was even tougher. To this day, El Sharif says his company can't get a bank loan. Banks only lend to profitable businesses. El Sharif courted a series of investors for the cash. Then he found himself buried under paperwork. He says just to register the business took ages.
In Dubai, you can start a company in 48 hours. In Egypt, at the time, took quite a few months. We started spending before we were even legally incorporated.
El Sharif has all the advantages, an MBA from Europe, a well-off family. But like all Egyptians, he's up against powerful cultural forces. Bankruptcies are published in the criminal pages of the newspaper. Egypt's long guarantee of government employment lowered the ambitions of generations of workers and their families.
If I want to start a business and I go talk to my parents or my friends, they tell me, Amr, you're crazy. Go find a job.
Amr El Abd is co-founder of the Entrepreneurs Business Forum. At just 29 years old, he's devoted to changing those attitudes. El Abd sees entrepreneurship as a solution to Egypt's soaring unemployment. Research suggests people are most likely to start new ventures before they hit 35.
So when we look at Egypt, that's the majority of our population right now. So if we prepare them to start their business instead of seeking a job, then we will have unprecedented number of startups in our history.
Egypt is taking steps in that direction. A recent report by the United Nations graded countries on the ease of starting a business. It ranked Egypt the second biggest reformer after Saudi Arabia. 4 years ago in Cairo, it took 43 days to officially launch a business. Now, just 9 days. Sharif Kamel teaches management at the American University in Cairo. He says Egypt's opening new one-stop shops for setting up businesses. They require just 7 steps.
The bureaucracy, the red tape, has been dramatically minimized over the last maybe 4 or 5 years.
Back at SpeedSend, workers load boxes of copy paper into a minivan for delivery. Ahmed El Sharif says he's heard a lot of talk from the government about promoting startups, but he says Egypt's got a long way to go.
When you come to ask for anything, you get nothing. Nothing. It's only gotten easier because we've gotten better at what we're doing.
So much better that SpeedSend is now one of Egypt's largest online companies. El Sharif expects his business to turn its first profit next year. In Cairo, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
I hope you're enjoying the music you're hearing from the Middle East. You can learn more and hear more at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. Middle East Reporting is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
Did you see what happened to oil prices yesterday? They climbed $5 to another record, almost $105 a barrel. Oil is still close to that this morning. I doubt many Middle Eastern oil-producing countries are complaining. But former U.S. Ambassador to the Middle East, Dennis Ross, says oil doesn't make an economy whole.
For many Americans, the Middle East is defined very simply. It all boils down to oil. Most countries in the region don't have fossil fuels, but the states in the Arabian Peninsula are awash in oil and natural gas. With oil at roughly $100 a barrel, they are also awash in cash. Notwithstanding their considerable wealth, development continues to lag in these countries and the rest of the Middle East. In fact, there is not a single Arab state in the top 25 of the World Economic Forum's most competitive countries. The Arab states remain a net importer of foreign technology and services. As a rule, their educational systems are geared more towards rote memorization and less towards problem-solving and promoting innovation. Women are too often excluded from the workplace. There's very little trade within the region, and the wealthy oil states don't invest in countries like Egypt, which is making efforts to transform its economy. Instead, they try to grow their money in the United States, Europe, and increasingly China. The Arab oil states understand their predicament. They are seeking to diversify their economies. They are trying to upgrade their approach to education, even beginning to import American universities. They are seeking to introduce greater transparency into their economies as they further develop their financial services sector. And we're even beginning to see these states foster greater interest in regional trade with an eye towards building the capabilities of Arab producers and exporters. However, we need to see much greater investment in local research and development, as well as female empowerment in the workplace. Until that happens, don't expect an early transformation. Still, the Arab oil states have huge capital sums available for investment. I suspect Abu Dhabi and other sovereign wealth funds will continue to invest heavily in Citigroup and other Western financial institutions. But we may also begin to see new investments geared towards regional or local development. And with a demographic time bomb of maturing young people demanding far greater job creation in the Middle East, that is necessary and long overdue.
Commentator Dennis Ross is a distinguished fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. And while you're there, check out our special blogs, videos, and slideshows from the Middle East. In Cairo, I'm Scott Jagow. Enjoy your day.
وسائل الإعلام الأمريكية.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.